Welcome, everyone, to Non-Standard Actions Series 5, Strength of Thousands. This is Episode 4, Formal Introductions. And joining me today around our virtual tabletop are my wonderful friends and players, Jet, Joel, Kat, Tom, and Leif. Say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
You guys are on it. Great job. Our icebreaker question this week is a little bit different. This one's not about characters, but we wanted to do it because this person has been a huge, has been a fan of the show since very early days. And, you know, we wanted to give them a shout out. So without further ado, what is your favorite Shades Forge mini? Jet?
Okay, so this was a super tough call, and there were four finalists for me. There was the Grawr one, there was the Akina one, the Ava one, and then there was the Gus one. And for me, though it was earlier days than the others and had less options, the Gus one won out just because it was Gus has a very special place in my heart.
He's a good boy.
And I also wanted to thank Shades, because Shades gifted me this about, a year ago. I can't remember if it was for my birthday or just because, but I love it still, and it's still right next to me at the computer.
Does that Skittermander have a Fu Manchu?
Kinda.
I love it!
Joel, which one's your favorite?
Joel, I'll be playing Elias. We're both him. My favorite, again, I'm relatively new to the Discord, so I haven't been around for all of them. But for this show, my favorite was not one of the PCs that he did. I like the one that he did of you, Nick. I like the one that Shades did of you. So I think you have a bloody D20 in your hand, just ominously thinking about the fate of all your players. And I just thought that was super dope. So that's my particular favorite.
It is pretty great. I don't want any harm to befall any of these PCs, as you all know. Kat, which one's your favorite?
So, like Joel, I'm pretty new to the Discord channel. I kind of looked at all the other ones, and I'm like, oh, those are cool, but I don't know who they're based off of entirely. So I kind of stuck with the Strength of Thousands, and I really like Akina's. I think it captures the art that Anepala, I cannot say her name, did really well. So, yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, Akina's did turn out really well, too. Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm playing Rix and sometimes Megara when I remember. All of us are him. My favorite Shades mini that they have made is... It was tough, but... I mean, I have to go with the Velhite. So I think my favorite was Ogden Velhite, my super cool character that started out as a cute figure and more ended up as a badass James Bond figure by the end of the AP, at least in my visualization of such character. And no, it's not because Ogden is one of my favorite characters I've ever played, but also because I think that the mini was very spot on, including lab coat and everything. It was very, very cool.
Yeah, getting to see the lab coat on the mini was perfect.
Yeah, just chef's kiss. Mwah.
Ogden was a lot of fun, too. Leif, who's your favorite?
Oh, similar problems here. Had a very hard time choosing. Like, I absolutely loved Ava. And just, oh my god, the mini that was made after the art, it was like... the 3D version of the art. It was spot on. But I'm gonna have to be just a little more self-serving than just picking one of my most recent ones and go all the way back and say I actually think Gurr might be my favorite, because I went back, I'm looking at him now, and he is done up in a fancy suit and he has got a gun in one hand and an I don't give a prunk in the other. Just, oh my god, it's so good.
And I miss the second Gurr. Round
huh
yeah
I think
yeah.
That was the second round. I think Shades did our original art, and then when we went to the fancy party, did everybody like done up?
I think you're right, because I'm looking at Ninden right now with the top hat and the cane, and oh my,
honorary mention Ninden Velheit in the top hat and the suit. I loved that.
Man, they're just, oh man, I just love it. I love it so much. You get so spot on with all of them.
They are really great. If you haven't seen them, search for images that Shades has posted in the Discord, and yeah. they'll come up. Shades, if you're listening, you really need something on the blog with all the ones you've ever done, so we can go back and reminisce. That would be awesome. Yes,
what we should do, honestly, is just give Shades a little channel or something, because they consistently post these things all the time, and it's hard to find them scattered.
I mean... We have gaming.
Yeah, we have a channel for these things.
Now.
Oh, I didn't even introduce myself. Hi, Leif, they, them, and I'm playing Maruk, he, him, and Lucius, Dark Lord.
Of all, yes.
I forgot as well. Jet, yeah, he, him, too. Akina, she, her.
That's fair. We did answer our icebreaker out of character this week, which is little bit different.
Exactly. We just got so excited to talk about Shades Minis.
Shades Minis are great. And like I said, if you haven't seen them, go check them out on our Discord page. They're fantastic. Without further ado, friends, what happened last week at Magambia? Jet.
Sorry, Judy, you had a question. So we did numerous things, but the thing I'm going to mention is we were post people. We delivered letters. And Akina focused specifically on delivering the letters postmarked for various deities, and got help from her cohort when it was necessary.
Nice. Cool. What else happened last time?
Well, I was going to say.
Your name's
Nigel. Sorry. We also got sent to gather some ingredients for a magical ritual, and it wasn't as easy as just picking up some ingredients. We actually got jumped by a fungusy type mushroom man who came down and got the jump on us, but we dispatched of them and we were able to survive and get all the ingredients we needed. So we got in our first real non-sock-centric combat, which was pretty fun.
No murder guilt there.
No. You avoid the guilt by not actually killing anything. But we survived, and that's what's important.
It's an evil mushroom, after all.
Yeah.
Yeah, good thing we let that one free.
Yeah, what else happened last week?
Yeah, so we told the Uzunjati, I want to say, the story of all of our exploits up to that point. Each of us doing the best that we could, using our skills to tell the tale. Some of us more performance oriented than others, but we seemed to catch their attention and it was fun.
Yes, you did very well as a group, showing off sort of what you'd done and learned over the course of the week. Tom, what else?
Well, in the aforementioned ritual, also I have to get in this pun. I didn't want to interrupt anybody. That mushroom really was quite a fun guy. So that's why we let them loose.
Taking away a hero point.
Oh no! Once we had all the mushrooms and bone oils and other things that we needed to procure, we performed the ritual of Fae Abeyance, which I don't think anybody ever told Rix, being a Fae, and it was a little too effective, and Rix was discomforted by this. Not hurt, just, sort of like itchy.
I was going to say itchy.
Yeah. My teeth itch. Should my teeth be itching?
It tastes
a little
purple.
Bit stronger than intended. Just a smidge. Leif, what else happened?
Which was no doubt attributed to Maruk's swift procurance of bones and the turning of that into bone oils. He just makes really potent bone oil. That's what Maruk did last time, was totally carry the team in procuring the items for the ritual, but,
why the ritual was so potent.
You didn't hear it from me. There was something else I was going to mention, but it wasn't Maruk-centric, so it's not important, I guess.
you guess. I'm making a note here that Maruk is getting more self-centered by the day. And we'll have to do something about that as time goes on. Notably, from my perspective, Megara didn't feel any worse on the postal delivery day. Out of character, this means that Megara made his save against that purple pox from the mushroom.
A pox on that mushroom. And it's
purple. No, a pox on Megara.
Well, but everybody knows when you save against disease, the person who gave you the disease then has to make a save against the disease.
It's not how it works, Tom.
Your rubber and their glue?
Megara is indeed rubber. Because he's a snake.
He's a snake, which... And snakes are notably made out of rubber. It's true.
That's like Tiggers.
Isn't there a snake
Tiggers and snakes.
Rubber?
Well known to be made out of rubber.
I always thought Tiggers were made out of springs.
No, their tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of springs.
I knew I wasn't misremembering.
Can confirm.
Not because anybody ever compared me to Tigger as a child, because I can't sit still. No, that's not totally why I know that.
Sure.
Anyway, when we left off at the end there, you'd finished telling your story to the Uzunjati faction members, and they told you that in the morning, Teacher Ott wanted to meet with you for what they assume is your formal introduction ceremony. And they told you this is going to be on the grounds. And so the next morning, when you all wake up, you make your way there, I presume, unless you're going to be like very bad students for some reason, which you haven't so far.
I think I established that Akita rises with the dawn to get some of those chocolate covered crickets for her and Maruk.
Maruk's going to actually not answer his door this time when you try and battle him.
Well, she'll just save him. It's fine.
Oh, how sweet.
So very considerate.
Sweet and crunchy, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. What are you talking about, considerate? How do things taste?
But you are supposed to be meeting Teacher Ott at dawn.
Oh no.
Then, yeah. Then Rick and Megara are there.
Oh, then she's cruising through, grabbing them as quick as possible, and then running out the door.
Yes,
so Akina is the last to arrive.
Akina, why are you late?
Teacher Ott is not here yet, notably. As you roll up to this stage that has been set up in sort of one of the open areas on campus here. It's a simple platform decorated with intricate circular mosaics and a wide ramp descending to the grass. The platform is elevated about 3 feet off the ground on sturdy wooden supports. And a low curved stone wall to the north seems to provide audience seating. It's actually sunny today. The sun has finally poked out through the clouds and it is not raining for the first time since you arrived. Roll me some perception checks as Akina rolls up here.
Oh boy.
For no particular reason.
Ah, of course.
Yes. That's why Maruk didn't answer his door, because he was already here. I knew this was happening all along.
That's why the turn order just popped up. But that's meta knowledge. Should we be rolling these as initiative checks, Nick, or just straight perception checks?
Yes, as initiative checks, please. This little...
Akina was the bad guy the whole time.
Oh, because this one's the name and this one... Okay. I'm like, why do these tokens have different names on them? Sorry. I was investigating things that you guys cannot see. You know, for no particular reason. They totally don't exist.
I'm not concerned at all. And Tom, you definitely should not queue up battle music.
No, definitely.
Well, I haven't been given a reason to queue up battle music yet. There's no action happening, Leif.
Most certainly not. So as you make your way sort of up to the stage here together, from underneath, a couple of gremlins pop out.
What?
Put them on the token layer here.
No.
Oh, gremlins! You see the closer one is this funny looking little gremlin.
That thing does not look like the other gremlins. This one looks...
No, there's all sorts of kinds of gremlins.
This one looks mean. No!
It does look mean.
This one looks like Roger.
And the one further up the ramp is Pugwumpy again.
Oh, I
we know that name. I like this. We know Kershwin.
Yes.
Oh, do we?
The handout does say Kershkin.
We don't know that this guy's name is Kershkin. However, we know that the other gremlins were working for a gremlin named Kershkin. So, whoops.
You.
Yeah.
And Kershkin does, in fact, where did my... There it is. Kershkin is going to take a shot at Rix. Yes.
The most threatening of us all. It makes sense.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
They have sort of moves up here onto the ramp, climbs up over the edge, and then takes a shot.
All I gotta say is they better not damage Revy's new clothes.
Well, they're shooting at Rix, I hope not.
With a 15.
That's going to... Oh, man, I forgot I'm level 1. Yeah, that meets.
Oh, that is 3 piercing damage, my friend.
All right, could have been worse.
It could have indeed been worse. And then, let's try one more time. Oh, that's a natural one. That's not going to hit. Rix, what do you do?
Rix cries out, is Teacher Ott here?
No, Teacher Ott is not here yet.
Okay, so it's just the six of us that are here, correct?
Right.
Okay. Rix cries out, it's an ambush. And then thinks to Megara, go. And Megara is going to use, we're going to act together. Megara beast strides up here, or beast charge, so strides twice and strikes, while Rix simultaneously casts Boost Eidolon. So Megara is going to get plus one circumstance bonus to this attack because I moved 20 feet in a straight line.
Megara, as he moves up there, doesn't really feel anything, but needs to roll twice to take the worst result.
That's
due
lame.
To the unluck aura around this gremlin.
Hate that. Really hate that. So here's Fangs. We'll add 1 to that. 1, and then damage that. So that's a 17 or a 21. So a 17 versus its AC.
17 versus AC on Kershkin is going to miss.
Yeah, yeah. That's lame. I bet a 21 would have hit. Little jerk. Megara will then lash out with Fiery Spines. It's the second attack. So that and that. And we know a 16 is not going to hit, so I'm not even going to roll the second attack. Why break my own heart? And I end my turn.
All right. After Rix is Marouk.
Oh, goodness. Marouk, seeing that arrow fly in his general direction, takes exception to this and will step forward. And let's see. I am, in fact, close enough. Fantastic. He points his hand out and with his pointer finger points at this individual to the north, and then with his pinky points to this other one, and 2 simultaneous bolts of lightning lance out, and I need reflex saves, I believe.
Reflex saves, how rude.
As we electric arc.
Nice damage.
Well, the Pugwumpy critically failed on that reflex save, and the Vex get... you don't know that that's what that kind of gremlin is called, but it is a Vexkit. Got a 13, which is also a fail.
Yes.
So double damage to the Pugwump Beast. That's 16 and 8 to somebody down here. Ow. Rude. And Havix, this little Vexkit, is going to also climb up here and get in behind Magira. And it's going to attempt to smash that snake. That is a 24 to hit.
That is a hit, not a crit.
Okay. That's 8 bludgeoning damage.
That's a lot. That's a lot of bludgeoning damage.
It is a lot of bludgeoning damage, and then it's going to try to bite you with its last action here. That's a 15 to bite, Magira.
Question for you. Is Magira flanked?
Yes.
Okay, even though this one, I know you said he shot something. I assume he's got a bow, so he
does have a bow, but you're still threatening because you can punch people, right?
Yeah, yeah. If he has a hand free, that's the important thing. So, if he was holding a crossbow, he wouldn't have a hand free.
But
if
that's a good point. This is a short bow, so he does have a hand free.
Yeah, okay, yep. Then that meets Megara's AC.
For 2 piercing damage as this little gremlin, sinks its teeth into Magira.
Magira lets out a horrible hiss.
Akina.
So Akina is going to spend... I'm not used to playing this character. I need to look at one thing. I apologize. Things changed.
While you're looking at that, Jet, if you'll allow me to explain, describe what happened to Rix, because this is a weird thing about summoners. As Magira is attacked, beset upon by this weird-looking gremlin, the bludgeoning, I guess it, bashed me with a club or something. And,
A maul.
So Rix, recoils as Magira recoils, and you see, a bruise form on Rix's face, and then when Magira is bitten, similarly holes open up on Rix's arm or something. Every point of damage Magira takes goes to Rix, and vice versa.
So Akina reaches down and she touches her holy symbol, and she makes a gesture with her hand, and her eyes kind of glow, and I feel like it's a pale sort of an orangey yellow gold or orangey yellow light, and she looks at Rix, and that energy sort of pulses out of her eyes and strikes Rix. And what she's doing is she's using her healing font, her divine font for healing, and she's doing the 2 action version, which apparently I did not put the damage in, unfortunately, because I was an idiot.
No.
You're not an idiot. Don't talk
about
my friend like
that. There's
a
learning curve on this sheet.
And the sheet's not letting me add to it right now, so...
Do you want me to just roll a d8 and add 8 to it?
Yeah, d8 plus 8. That's what's happening.
All right. Big money. That is a 1.
That is not big money.
It is 9. That is still, minimum damage, minimum healing on that still brought me 4 within max. So Rix, says, thank you, Akina. These crunkers hit hard.
Don't worry about it, Rix. We're all in this together. And take down that bastard that's wearing Roger's face.
All right. Keep another heal ready in the chamber. And we'll talk about Roger after this.
You have 1 action remaining, Jet.
Two. I don't want to... I guess I could just move over here, but I'll still probably be doing the 2 action heal anyway, so yeah. I'll just walk around and stand next to Rix, since Rix is suffering damage from Magira.
All right. Elias.
Yeah, this person's just out of my reach, so I'm going to have to move twice and draw my warhammer I come. Yes.
The horror. You are also affected by the unluck aura, my friend.
Oh, no. That's okay. Elias comes up.
Twice and take the worst.
Elias comes up and says, wow, something feels unlucky up here.
Tell me about it.
That's my turn.
It was indeed unlucky up here. Revy.
Yeah, my initiative's higher than Elias. Just saying.
You must have rolled.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
You must have been in there after I sorted it.
Yeah.
So we will put you before Elias. But you go ahead and take your turn now, and you'll be ahead of him in the future.
Okay. But if I shoot at Mr. Vexkit, it'll have cover, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Elias is in the way.
Monster.
We can make Elias go after you.
No, it's fine.
That's what I was going to
say. No, it's fine. Revy will scamper this way. Oh, I don't want to be too close. Revy will scamper over here. Is it misfortunate? Am I feeling
no,
kind of
doggy? No, you're fine.
Oh, good. And we will do a knowledge check, probably knowledge nature, on that little unknown friend.
On the one that's not a Pugwumpy there in the front?
Yeah.
Yes. That one's a Vexkit. And I should really have this pulled up.
No, 17 nature.
17 nature will do it. Like I said, that's a... You know what a Vexkit is. Or Revy does, anyway. They are gremlins, covered head to toe by a crustacean-like exoskeleton that clacks and rattles whenever they move. They delight in sabotaging the works of other creatures, often turning those works into dangerous traps. An individual Vexit might jam a door lock, loosen the wheels on a carriage, or remove nails from a boat hull. Buildings infested by Vexits become filled with traps, like portcullises descending suddenly, water pipes exploding violently, and clock towers disgorging an avalanche of gears. Aware of their own physical weakness, Vexits carry hammers and other tools to leverage pieces apart or smash whatever they are unable to disassemble. Indeed, a hammer size for a human becomes a maul in the tiny hands of a Vexit, like the one that this one is carrying. They do like to congregate in groups. This one appears to be alone. They can rust things with their touch. They are weak to cold iron. They can climb relatively quickly. And like I said, they like to set traps. It's sort of their MO.
All right, well, Revy will analyze that little dude, and then it is flat-footed to them due to their mastermind... What's the word I'm looking for? Mastermind thing. So we're gonna shoot with a short bow. And it's flat-footed. 16 probably won't hit, though.
16 will hit.
Oh, wow, okay. So that'll be 8 damage. 3 and then sneak attack.
Nice.
Oh, does he have cover?
From where you're at, you can draw a line from
this
corner up. That's not a corner. I have too many things. Stab to a corner. Why are you this way, roll 20? There's a handout in my way. There we go. Stab to a corner. Yeah, so you can see there without going through Elias.
Okay, cool. All right. And that is Revy's turn.
All right. Kershkin here does not like this snick in their face. We're going to move over here. Provoking an attack of opportunity if Megara's got one.
Not until later, my friend. Not until later.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Ed shoots that snick with a 23 to hit.
Yep, that's a hit.
For 2 piercing damage. And then tries to do one more. The 19 to hit?
That's a hit.
For 6 piercing damage.
Oh, buddy.
That's a mean little Pugwumpy there. Rix, what do you do?
Megara sees this Pugwumpy sort of back off, but Elias flanking this Vex, whatever the heck it is, this Vex Hex, is going to... Megara's going to focus on the Vex, and Rix will agree. So Rix casts Boost Eidolon once more, as Megara will attack with a single strike. Rolling twice and taking the worst. That's a 3. Can I Can I use hero points to reroll one of these?
Sure.
Okay, then I'm going to roll the second time and we'll see if it's worth it. It's not worth it. Unbelievable luck. So then Megara is going to, that was one action total, so Megara is going to attack a second time with his fiery spines, hissing all the way, as luck would have it. All right, I'm going to use a hero point on that 12 because I rolled a 19 on the first one. So let's expend a hero point. Here, have this frog.
All right, I'll take your frog.
All right, let's roll 1d20 and see what we get. Nope, that's a 4. That's 4 worse. I'm just not destined to hit tonight. That's fine. And for our third action, Rix is going to battlefield medicine himself. So he reaches quickly into his little bandolier that he has on his chest and whip out some tools real quick. He's going to try it against, it's a DC 15 for treat deadly wounds. And we hit it on the button. So if I remember correctly, that is simply 2d8. I get 7 hit points back. And that's my turn.
All right, Maruk. They're having a hard time up there.
Yeah, Maruk kind of looks and just kind of, ooh, like winces as the Pugwampi just thrashes this danger noodle. And Maruk just kind of, you know, ugh. Most disagreeable. As he does his whole song and dance. Scratches a little circle in the ground, starts chanting in a very guttural, ugly language, and draws out another blue orb from his lantern as he brings a horrible skeleton into being right about here.
The horrible skeleton?
The tide's turning against us. They've summoned reinforcements.
Now that skeleton. Are skeletons immune to mental things? Mm-hmm.
Death affects these mental, yes.
Ah, so it is not unlucky. It's all good.
Luck means nothing to the dead.
Good.
That's bad.
And as Maruk says, kill him.
Oh. 25 is a hit.
For 3 slashing damage.
3 slashing damage. 1, 2, 3.
I'll take it.
Slightly alarming that that's not a crit.
It is not. It is indeed not a crit. This smaller one is going to step over here. It does not like being between the two of you, and it's going to try to smash Megara again. Exit. With them all! Swing! 21 to hit.
That hits.
4 danger noodle, 2 bludgeoning damage. And then a bite. 16 to hit.
That will miss.
Aha! Megara manages to just whip his tail out of the way as this little gremlin tries to bite him again. No more bites from that gremlin.
Megara.
Akina.
So, surprising everyone, Akina's eyes once more glow, and she shoots a look at Rix.
Rix shrugs his shoulders. Sorry.
So, I rolled a 1.
That's fine. I only needed 9. I only needed 7.
So, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I wish I could say this was the last time.
I feel like this is going to happen so much. And Akina's just going to take a little bit of a step forward.
All right.
I've never been one for the gods myself, but I am glad that you are here.
Revy.
Revy is gonna scamper off this way. hiding in the brush at the very end, doing a stealth check once... Wait, they can't move at full speed while stealthing, can they?
Yeah, it's half speed. But this is like a ramp that sort of rises up.
I think you could you move full speed and then spend a full action to hide, and then the third action would potentially be from flat-footed, or does she have to stealth while moving? Or do they have to stealth while moving?
Yeah, I guess it is an action to hide, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Revy jumps off the ledge and then scampers into the brush. Hides for a second action. Stealthy, stealthy. Oh, well, very stealthy. And then shoots at the Rexkit. Probably without sneak attack. And probably missing anyway.
Yeah, nine is a miss, even against flat-footed, because it had no idea where you went.
That's a natural toot. Toot, toot.
Yeah.
Elias, still unlucky up there.
Yeah, I've got lots of choices. I think what I want to do is, though, is get in the flank. So, feeling super unlucky, I'm going to come up to here, and as I swing my Warhammer, it again hums with magical energy as I try and channel one of my cantrips through my Warhammer and strike out at this Pugwampy here.
I believe in you.
That's misplaced, I believe, but we shall see. So here comes. Boom. Boom. And it's going to be Gouging Claw. 26 would be my first one. Let's see the unlucky. Oh,
that's so good.
It is. It's so good.
All right.
That's a 19 on the dice.
Oh,
my gosh. Two 19s in a row. Beautiful. That is 8 bludgeoning damage, that Pugwumpy.
Well, 26 against flat-footed. That's not crit, though, right?
No. Not quite.
And then it'll be 4 piercing, or 4 slashing, as when I rake the Warhammer away, it does some slashing damage. So that's a total of 12.
Nice.
And that's my turn.
All right. Kershkin didn't like that, not one bit. Moves up this way a little bit and takes a shot at Elias, because that was rude. And that's a horrible miss. A terrible, terrible miss. Not one. Hate to see it. Takes a second shot and also misses. Oh no, the unluck has turned around. Rix.
Oh, I assure you, it hasn't left us, I bet. Rix is going to, we're going to try it again with Megara attacking, Rix boosting. Megara will attack with fangs. That's a natural toot, toot, toot.
Seen a lot of those today.
Let's see what the second one would be. That's a 27, so...
You did this just to break your own heart.
I do. Well, no, because I'm going to use a hero point to that second one. Because surely I couldn't roll another natural two.
Of course not.
There we go. Add 12 to that, and you get a 22 on the fangs.
Oh, a 22 will hit.
Versus this mother pronker, please take 11 piercing damage.
Oh, that is a dead gremlin.
26, Tom.
Oh. 12?
It's a dead gremlin. Know.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, it's a dead gremlin. So, yes. Excellent. Megara triumphantly, like, finally... The thing, you know, it's almost like his vision is swimming. He like, you know, swerves back and forth and finally locks on, grabs the gremlin with his mallet, with his fangs, and just tosses him off the ramp, hissing triumphantly. And then Megara, that was one action total for us. Megara's going to move up here and then attack with his fiery spines as he goes. I don't suppose that unluck aura is gone now, Nick.
No, it's the Pugwumpy.
Interesting. Well, that's fine, because that's not going to hit anyway.
That's a miss.
Man, I really thought I had you with the trap laying Faye being dead. That's fine. Maruk.
Maruk, what do you do?
Just, again, in that super ugly language, he's just kind of like, well, mustn't dally. And, Skeleton will move up here and strike the thing.
You do it, I believe.
Sorry,
in you.
The thing, the
come on,
womp.
Skelly.
You can have disagree. Oh, it's only a 14, though.
Versus flat-footed.
Versus flat-footed, but I still think
still
that's
a miss, good. Yeah.
Do we have any plus ones, and would they help?
No.
All right, that's fine. Because Maruk is going to use his other two actions, because he maintained this guy for... Oh, no, that's not what I wanted to do. Ignore that. trying to close things. He's going to call this Pugwompy to the grave. With a 25 to hit.
That hits.
They are sickened one.
Ow.
Now rude. Who's feeling unlucky?
Me.
Enough.
All right, Akina.
She doesn't have anyone to heal. This is weird.
What do you do when you don't have anyone to heal?
I guess walk forward. That's one. And then do a measure. Because I need to see how close I am to this thing.
You're 25. About, yeah.
I am going to, once again, touch my holy symbol and send out a pulse of light from my eyes again. But this time it's going to hopefully hurt the Pugwumpy, and I'm sending out a divine lance.
All right.
And there it is. Click.
18. Oh, that one's pretty close. It is a miss.
What?
Now if you had a plus one, now it would help.
Well, it's funny you say that. We do.
It is sickened. Is the 18 hit against
sickened? Oh, it is sickened. So it will hit.
Okay. Seven nice. Good damage.
Spell's coming in handy already.
That's some seven. Good damage.
It does take good damage. You're in luck.
Well, this is an evil
Pugwompy?
Evil
gremlin. It is an evil Pugwompy.
That's all I got.
So neutral evil, in fact.
Ooh.
All right.
Kind of evil.
Lance is supposed to be two actions. It is. There you go.
Oh, fixed. Yeah, good catch. All right, Revy.
Revy's gonna sneaky, as they do, kind of up by this pillar, sneaking around like the little inlets there. Stealthy. To sneak up on Mr. Pugwumpy. Mm-hmm. And shoot Mr. Pugwumpy. Oh, did I click it? Yes, I did.
Ooh. That's wonderful. A hit.
Wonderful sneak attack damage. I love it.
Beautiful.
Three damage. Perfect.
Hey, that sneak attack damage increased
and that
the damage
brings him
by
down.
There.
and then, not quite. Although, as a free action, this Pugwumpy drops their bow and says, please, I surrender. Elias, what you do?
Revy will not use their last action.
I'm sorry. You can have it if you want it.
No, it's okay. I'll do a sense motive perception check. Is that a thing? That's a thing, right? Yeah.
Yes, you may make a perception check. Sense motive if you like.
Oh, yeah, I got nothing.
It's definitely truthful, for sure.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It definitely has no ulterior motives.
Elias, knowing that the will now be easy victim, will walk up. No, I'm kidding. I'll move up. I will kick the bow with an action. I don't know if I have the unluck aura. If I do, I probably miss it. And so I'll have to try again. No.
You do have the unluck aura.
And then I'll try and grapple. I don't know if we need to stay in rounds for this, but I'll just try and basically put, you know, subdue the creature physically, rather than just take their word for it. So,
all right.
Do I need an athletics check, or are they going to willingly, you know, allow me to tie them up and such?
Yeah, give me an athletics check.
Okay.
As it goes to squirm away.
Oh no,
oh,
eight.
No.
We can't have that. We can't have that.
No, you got three hero points.
Yeah. So I'll try again. I rolled a natural one. So as I do, I like to count to three in my head, and then I'll roll it again.
Yeah, because can't they get turned back around on you?
That is a 23, but you are still in the unluck aura, so you do have to roll one more time.
Oh, no. 22.
Yeah, Joel. What unluck
very
aura.
Nice, very nice. Let's see.
Oh. And Elias wraps around him like a snake.
You do manage to grab that Pugwumpy.
Okay. I have one action left. I will cast shield, I guess.
Okay. It's going to attempt to do a thing. It's going to cast trees. It reaches out and touches you, Elias. Make me a fortitude save, please.
Oh, no. It touched me. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, baby.
22 fortitude save.
Ah. So you're just going to take some poison damage. 4 poison damage. As you are affected by spider venom from this Pugwumpy's touch. And then it's going to try and get away. Attack roll, yes.
Okay.
True. Oh, that's a 30.
It's critical success.
Slips out.
They can move a little bit, I think. Half speed, maybe, after. I don't know what the critical success for escape is.
We'll go with that.
They get a little movement.
That sounds about right. We'll double check here in a bit. So it slips out and then it runs off.
It cast a spell, didn't it?
Oh, it did. You're right. So it just slips out. They can't quite run off. They don't have the
It gets 5 feet. It gets 5 feet on a critical success from an escape. So it's right there. Yep.
Yep. Yes, it is. Rix.
Megara hisses to the Pugwumpy. That doesn't look like much of a surrender to me. And rears back and is going to try and strike through this full flea mora. We act together. I'm not going to say it every round. It'll make more sense for me to say when I don't do it. You can just assume that I'm doing it. So first, Megara will move into a flanking position. And then we'll cast the boost. And then Megara strikes. So we are at 2 actions. That's a pretty good roll. How about the second one? The second one is a 19 on the die, so a 20 versus flat-footed for 8 points of piercing damage.
Yes, Megara chomps down on that Pugwumpy hard, and it is dead. You are no longer unlucky. Right about this time, Teacherot comes running up.
Baruch hurriedly breaks the circle that he created, and the skeleton crumbles into dust.
Hey, what happened?
Well, we were here at dawn, just like you said, and then these two gremlins leapt out from underneath the ramp and started accosting us. We handily dealt with both of them.
Well, us is a bit generous. They accosted Megara over and over and over again, but we managed to get through it.
Megara, to Rick's nods his head too.
Well, yes. I'm glad that none of you were hurt.
Oh, Rix was, repeatedly.
but the fine Akina managed to patch me up just right, so.
Good, I'm glad. We'll have to cancel the introduction ceremony.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, but we'll have to secure the area. But good job thwarting those gremlins.
Yes. Do you mind if we, given that we were the first to encounter these creatures, if we pat them down and see if we can find the motives or what their motivations were, if they're part of the same pack that we caught earlier, or exactly what they're doing here?
Yes.
Of course.
2 points makes a line. There could be a connection.
It is strange. More gremlins again so soon. If you check their pockets, which I assume you're checking their pockets, you find that they're not carrying anything of interest. You don't know what these gremlins were on about.
Rix will look at Marouk sort of sidelong and say, in a hushed voice, Marouk, you have a way with the dead. I don't suppose you could communicate with them in some fashion?
I'm afraid not. That is a difficult magic to be sure. But one day, perhaps, I will acquire that knowledge. But now I can only... And he'll walk up to them and he'll zap them with electricity from electric arc, and the bodies will kind of like, yeah, it looks like they're alive, but not really. That's all I got.
I'm sure the threat's dealt with for the time being. Take the day. Your classes start on Monday.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Teacher Ott.
Out of character, is there any identification that this is the one matches the name that we talked to that we heard mentioned earlier, Krishkin?
We find their wallet with their driver's.
That's
license.
What I was wondering. Do they have their, you know, maybe like their Jumping Juice card or something?
Their armor.
We find their.
They don't have
card.
A wallet with their name in it, no. But this Pugwampy is noticeably wearing much nicer clothing than the other Pugwampies you encountered. And it does look like it. They might have been some kind of leader.
Hey, Rix, these look to be about your size.
I'm not going to loot the... what a ghoulish suggestion. I'm not going to wear the clothes of something I just killed. Who does that?
Did somebody say ghoulish?
It's better than letting it go to waste. That's just waste.
Revy points at your hand wraps.
And on that note, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will, these guys will tell you about their level ups, and we will get started on chapter 2 of Kindle Magic. We'll be back at about 31 after the hour. Don't go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the break. I know we all need that time to run off and really quickly refresh our drinks and hit the head and all that jazz. That was the end of the first chapter of Kindled Magic, which means that this lot gets to be level 2.
We've done it.
We're gods now.
It's true. They will never be in danger ever again. Now that they're level 2.
That's it. We're going to live forever.
So let's take a minute to pause here and talk about our level 2 choices. These guys get a lot of stuff at level 2 because you get a free dedication. And I did bend the rules a little bit. Marouk does not have to take a druid dedication. I told them they want wizard or druid spellcasting capabilities probably. And if they don't, they might be nerfing themselves. But they are free to take whatever they want as their free dedication.
Go ahead,
Tom.
Just for those not in the know, because we talked about this at length before starting the AP, there is an alternate rule called free archetype, which basically gives you an extra set of class feats every even level to spend on archetype things. This has more recently been implemented in, I think, each AP released, aside from Extinction Curse, right?
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah, but usually with some sort of restriction, like I think Fist of the Ruby Phoenix recommends, like, oh yeah, go monk or some sort of martial artist or something like that, or I don't know, maybe, but... Yeah, this one recommended wizard or druid.
Because the Magambia focuses on arcane and primal magic, and that's what your characters are learning at the Magambia. But I pretty much told these guys, as long as you have access to either arcane or primal magic somehow, through one of your classes, that's enough for me. It will probably be helpful to have druid or wizard. No, I said you had to have spellcasting of some sort from somewhere, and that arcane and primal were recommended. Otherwise, you might nerf yourself later. That being said, Jet, tell us about where Akina's going at level 2.
So my free archetype feat, which I'm clicking on as we speak, is I'm gonna go druid. Druid dedication. And I'm going to... I can't remember. The order is going to be leaf. And, you know, that's giving me certain stipulations. But it's also giving me access to druid cantrips. And now I can make healing mud to slap on people instead of having to carry around a med kit. And that's amazing. So if we have time before a fight, I'm just going to go around plastering everyone with mud using prestidigitation so that we're dirty during the fight.
Oh no. Yes. I hadn't thought of this.
Elias spends all his downtime polishing his armor. He will love to get covered in mud at the start of every combat.
I can also prestidigitation the mud off later, but during the fight it's important that you have mud on
perfect.
You.
Perfect.
And then for my class feat, Nick is being so kind, because it's not a free one, I am taking another dedication. And I'm taking the herbalist one. Because let's just be more of a healer. I'm going to just get so many free medicinals and alchemical potions and whatnot per day. And, you know, I'm probably going to focus on, you know, various restoratives.
Going to be monsters by the end.
I'll just be standing next to Rix, just dumping potions and healing magic into
while Magira rampages by in the background.
Yeah, and eventually Magira will just be a kaiju. It's fine.
Oh, please.
I'm very afraid. Joel, what about Elias?
Yes. Elias is a magus, and it probably hasn't been all that apparent yet, but he is the sparkling targe type of magus. There's different types of maguses, either a two-handed, a one-handed, book wielding, staff wielding, but Elias's focus is on his shield. So that's what kind of magus he is. At second level, he's going to lean heavily into the wizard for his free archetype. So nice. He's kind of leaning away from the magus class and more towards the book learning that we're doing here at the Magambia. So he's leaning heavily to that. But he also doesn't want to, so that's going to give him a couple more wizardly cantrips as well as broaden his knowledge base of Arcana. But he also doesn't want to avoid or leave behind his past life, which is his father was a blacksmith, was heavy into weaponry and armor and all that stuff. And he's recently found the fight club here, or the sparring group at the campus. So he's actually taking a dedication to be more proficient with armor. So he's taken the Sentinel dedication, which basically gives you additional armor training. If you're trained in light and medium, then you become trained in heavy armor as well. So now, because I was already trained in medium, I will now be trained in heavy armor, which boosts up my AC. And so now I'm going to be wearing some heavy armor, carrying a shield, casting some spells. It should be pretty fun. And we'll see where we go from here. But Elias is really comfortable with his combat-y friends and his wizardy friends, so he's got the best of both worlds at level 2.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. Kat, what about Revy?
Right, Revy is going to also be taking two... No, they're not. I'm sticking with roguey things in addition to doing the wizard dedication for my bonus. But Revy's going to focus more on their mastermind racket with the Clever Gambit ability, which basically aids in additional movement after critically dealing damage. And then after their discussions with the gremlins from before, last session, they're going to have learned how to disarm traps a little bit better, thanks to their discussions.
Nice.
See if there's anything else goody on this level. I don't think so.
What are they doing for their free archetype?
Oh, the free archetype's wizard.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. They're just not doing another archetype like everyone else is.
Yeah, so far, it's been, I've taken two archetypes this level. Monsters. Like,
I'm happy with rogue things. It's fine. Just rogue things.
Just rogue things. Tom, what about Rix and Megara?
So, I've been on the fence with, because I'm a little rules follower and was worried about, like, oh, should I stick with a wizard or druid or something like that for my free archetype? But I've decided, because Nick has said that it is okay to break the rules. And for my free archetype, well, let me start with my summoner feat. So summoner feat is going to be Alacritous Action. So summoner feats are really Eidolon feats in terms of, like, a lot of them benefit the Eidolon directly. So Megara now has a permanent 10-foot status bonus to his speeds.
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah, and I say speeds because in the future, maybe he'll get more speed types. It's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty rude. Imagine a flying danger noodle. That's huge. I can. And then for my free archetype, I'm going to be taking, so we all know that Rix is a storyteller. And this AP has actually introduced in a future book, but Nethys is a wonderful thing. An archetype based around storytelling called Folklorist. And Rix is going to become, he's going to lean into his storytelling aspects as his passion as a folklorist. So that's going to let him tell stories to not just affect people's minds, but also affect the real world. Well, the physical world.
Ooh, shine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty
That'll
neat.
Be cool.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, Leif, where's Maruk going this level?
Oh, goodness. Where is Maruk not going? he is, again, as was mentioned before, Nick, let us deviate. Maruk's free archetype he's taking is going to be Familiar Master. He's going to get Lucius in line and doing what he really needs him to do instead of just talking back.
Nice. He's just like more wizard. Really, yeah. At the end of the day.
Pretty much, yes, exactly. Everybody starts at level one, Nick. Gosh, there's some really interesting spells, because I get to add two to my spell book that I'm looking at here. Definitely not giving anything away when I say I'm really interested in Necromancer's Generosity and also Sleep. Sleep might not be such a bad one.
Pretty good. What about your wizard feat at level two?
Oh, gosh. Again, can't really decide. I really like the idea of cantrip expansion, but reach spell is always a good one.
That's so good.
I just, you know, it's the last thing on my list. You had to ask me about my wizard feat.
I mean, yes, that was sort of the point of leveling up, Leif. You gotta have a second level feat.
We're not combating again this time, right? Right? There's no way. I come prepared.
And then gremlins jump out of the walls of your dorms.
And they right say, now. Maruk, what feet do you have? Tell us your feet.
Or die! Yes.
And also you're naked in front of the class in only your underwear.
Yes, and this is a test. Same time. No. You can... These do not have to be set in stone right this second. You may take some time to think, Leif. We're not going to punish you for taking time to think about your character choices here.
Nope, too late. That, well, cantrip expansion.
That is a pretty great one. Cantrips are fantastic.
I love cantrips in this system. They're like actually useful beyond level one.
Right, they scale. It's fantastic. My poltergeist bard still is using telekinetic projectile to just throw furniture at things.
That's a great concept.
Oh, she started out way serious, and now she's a poltergeist because she just scares things and throws furniture.
That's perfect.
Yeah, she's great fun. Anyway, that does bring us to the end of the first chapter. Do you guys want some story time?
Yes.
Yeah. More than anything.
Yeah. Story time.
Story time.
All right. When the world was still young, and there were few tales to spin by firelight, there was a young woman who lived near the base of a mountain. Some say it was the tallest mountain to have ever existed, but who can say for sure now? What matters is that one day she heard the whispers of the rains and the caress of the winds and followed them up the mountain. She stayed there for a day and a night and returned as the next dawn broke. "Where did you go?" her family asked her. She replied, "I walked up the mountain and the rains told me secrets of how to move them. And though no one understood, village life moved on." As the weather turned crisp, a stray spark landed on the drying grasses, and the fire that followed would have immolated the village. While the people scrambled to get their buckets and bowls and blankets to quench the blaze, the woman who had walked up the mountain stepped forth. Her words and hands swept the river over the fire and put it out in an instant. The people stared, unable to understand what they had seen, before all crying out at once. "You can command the river," someone exclaimed. "You must be a god." "No," she insisted softly as she backed away. "I simply listened to the winds and rains, and they showed me ways I can help." "The rains, of course," cried a farmer. "Then you will bless us with healthy crops. And you can bring us fish," cried a fisherman, "and ease our weary backs." More demands rang out from the people. "Heal the sick, raise a house, bless a child, bind a truth, grace a marriage, bring justice, bring peace, give love, give joy, give and give and give and give." The woman backed further and further from the demands until she felt the cool stone of the mountain behind her. The mountain had never asked her for anything, despite all that it had given. She retreated further still and became one with the mountain, escaping the incessant demands of her village forever. Magic can do much, but those who wield it deserve respect and peace, lest they vanish, like the woman, into the mountain. And with that, you embark on your first semester here at the Magambia. We have another new system besides your free archetypes. As you get to advance your academic training as well as your class levels. Now, your branch level can go no higher than half of your character level. So right now it's at zero. You have no branch level. You haven't selected branches yet. But you're going to get to pick those branches and make your first round of study checks. So hopefully you all thought about your branches. They're sort of set once we get going here. Let's real quick recap our branches and what they asked you guys to do, right?
Yeah.
So we started, your first assignment was from the Rain Scribes. And they were the ones who asked you to deal with the Pugwampies, right? They esteem imagination, from the dreams. This is the cascade. I'm looking, Rain Scribes. Adaptability in thoughts and deeds, as well as a willingness to admit errors and learn from past mistakes. Like I said, they asked you to deal with the, the map for the Pugwampi encounter is attached to the Rain Scribe assignment in Roll 20. It is not their assignment. Their assignment was getting the chickens. Rain Scribes asked you to get the Ojafiri chickens from the market, and they value adaptability. The Tempest Sun Mages were the ones that asked you to go to the Storage Barn and deal with the Pugwampies there. Mm. They inspire valor. Not only physical courage to stand up for friends and the school, but also the intellectual courage to consider opposing viewpoints and widen one's understanding rather than staying entrenched in a single paradigm. The Cascade Bearers were the group that asked you to help them with the Thea Bance ritual. The Cascade Bearers esteem imagination, from the dreams of the most visionary magical theorists to the innovations of creative problem solvers of all stripes. The Emerald Boughs were the ones who asked you to deliver the mail. The Emerald Boughs emphasize camaraderie, sense of community and connection to fellow Magambians. They also interact with those outside the Magambia and spread the Academy's message. And finally, the Uzinjati were the ones who asked you to tell your story. They understand that knowledge lives in stories passed down through the generations and is earned every day through personal experience. And you've learned these things through your perquisite tasks and talking with your fellow students. And you get to pick your class schedules for your first semester here at the Magambia.
Oh, man. I hope the student portal doesn't crash.
Oh, I mean, it might. There's a lot of magic going on. Sometimes signals get crossed.
You can have the 6 a.m. class or the 9:30 p.m. class. Those are your two options.
There is no in-between that works with your schedule, no. and it's going to be a Saturday morning class, that one that's at like 6 a.m.
Oh, God.
Jet, let's start with you. Which branch is Akina leaning towards in her studies?
If I'm remembering the mission correctly, the Emerald Boughs.
With the ones who had to deliver the mail?
Yeah. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Very nice. What kinds of things is she studying this semester?
I don't know what all they would like. They're all about camaraderie, community, connecting. So it'd probably be learning about the city because it's all about the connection to Magambians. So she's probably learning about the city. She actually has a skill in this because she's been reading up on it and been hearing about the city for ages, but now she's here and she can sort of get hands on. So any sort of class that would get her out and about in the city, like learning the ins and outs of it, anything like that, that's probably what she's focusing on.
Yeah, absolutely. That goes right in line with the lore feat that you get for your first level. Now, Emerald Boughs are going to require a deception, diplomacy, or society check to study.
I have all of those, actually, now that I'm level two.
Well, give me your favorite.
Let me open up a character sheet, and then let me open up Hero Lab, because Hero Lab has my updated skills.
Oh no.
Okay, so it was deception, diplomacy, or society. They are all right. The same. It doesn't even matter.
Well, roll me some dice. Let's sure. See. See if you can, you know, see how you do sort of right at the beginning of the semester.
Sure. There we go. Let's do. Oh. I apologize. I need to make my diplomacy trained because that's the one I want to do. I got a 15.
That is exactly what you need. You get to take the first level of your branch level here. And at the first level, do I have it open somewhere? Of course I don't. Of course not. At the first level, I believe you get the lore.
That's yeah. Right.
Thank you, Joel. I was like, why don't I have that handout? Of course I don't have that handout.
I get additional lore. Yeah, what does...
You do. And yours is going to be settlement specific, such as Natambu lore, which follows with what you're saying about learning about Natambu.
Yep.
This semester. So go ahead and record that. I made you guys that very nice tracking sheet for your academia stuff, since there is no space for it on the Roll20 sheet or probably the Hero Lab sheet, which is linked in your Discord channel.
Yep, finding it now, academia subsystem.
All right, Joel, what branch is Elias gonna go after here?
Yeah, people probably don't refer to it this way, but Elias is going to be rushing Tempest Sons, I think. he really enjoyed what we had to do for them, and he heard valor. He heard a bunch of big words being thrown around, but the thing that really stuck out to Elias was valor, and was just his head. He started having like these visions of bravery and chivalry and just riding in on, you know, a horse to save people, and just like that's what he wants to do. So he was sold pretty early on that, and that's what he wants to be a part of. So
as your study check is going to be intimidation or performance?
Yep, I have intimidation. So what I'm going to be studying this semester is the art of well-eloquated, or like, I guess what he's thinking is war style trash talk. So that's what he kind of wants to focus on this week, is the intellectual side of battle and how you can intimidate people with your knowledge of that sort of thing. So that's kind of what this check is going to be based on.
Yeah. Let's see it. It makes me think of the little squirrel people in, oh my gosh, that is a natural one.
I think I'm going to have to hero, if I'm allowed to, I'm going to have to hero point
it. You can hero point it, but keep in mind, this is not the only check you will get for the semester. This is just your first one.
Yeah. Oh, well, really? Okay. I'm still going to do it just because I think I've got a lot of room for improvement. So, I rolled a 9, still not probably what I needed, but I'm getting my sea legs under me this semester.
Yeah.
This was such a charismatic group that he had enlisted with, but he's getting there.
You're going to have to try harder and try again. For now, your branch level doesn't increase, but that's okay. This is just sort of, you know, the first couple of weeks of the semester. Mm-hmm. You'll get there. Kat, what about Revy?
Revy is definitely drawn to the Uzunjati with their storytelling. And interest in basically any lore. That's where they're going to be going. Looks like their skills are crafting and lore. Mm-hmm. Class-wise, they want to begin with History 101, which just kind of is a nice broad overview of the history of the entire world, where they cover, you know, like a chapter on each country or region.
World history.
World history. Just kind of getting a broader world view.
All right. No, what were you going to say?
And also maybe like dabbling in like folklore of each region. Just kind of like as a tidbit to get the Uzunjati story loving side in. Along with the history, they throw in some stories that are local to the region.
Give us that crafting or lore check.
We're going to go with a library lore.
Ooh.
We're going to want to be better at that. Come on, it's my first library roll. We're going to hero point it.
All right.
Because it wasn't meant to be.
Right.
It never is.
Revy's still getting the hang of the library, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's new and intimidating. There's a lot of books in there. Also is gonna have to keep trying a little bit harder as the semester progresses. But she's up for it. She's got this.
Yeah.
Tom, what about Rix and Megara?
So this is tough because there's an easy in for Rix. Like there's an obvious answer here, and I'm not going to deliberate too much in front of you all because I've already deliberated a whole bunch. And I think the best choice for Rix is going to be the less than obvious one. Rix is going to apply for the Cascade Bearers branch.
Ooh.
Yeah, because Cascade Bearers, as you said, esteem imagination, from the dreams of the most visionary magical theorists to the invasions of creative problem solvers of all stripes. Rix has very often made his own way. He's made whether that was with his career or with the incredible story of how he met Megara and sort of almost willed that meeting into being. So Rick's values imagination, even if that doesn't even if like, you know, Uzenjadi would also make sense for Rix for sure. But I think Cascade Bears is what Rix is here for mostly, is imagination, cool applications of magic, how he can use it. So
going to lean into his academic side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He wants to, like, he already knows how to tell stories, and it's not that he can't get better at it. Like, he'll probably, take some Uzenjadi classes on the side if he can help it. Wink. But we'll go with Cascade Bearers as our, you know, that's why we came here, was to learn more about magic, not learn more about telling stories right now.
But what's he excited to study this semester?
To that end, I think he's going to be taking a lot of he'll try and find like evidence of other summoners in the past, either that have come through here or legends of summoners and their eidolons, like noteworthy pairings of the two. And on top of that, he'll be looking at that ritual that we performed for the Cascade Bears did catch Rix's attention, even if it did. A part of the attention catching was, why are my teeth itchy? So I think Rix is going to be sort of studying lesser known applications of magic across the spectrum.
All right, you can give me Arcana, Occultism, or Religion.
All right, Rix is going to go with Arcana. That is a 15.
15 gets it on the nose.
Woo!
Rix gets to advance to level 1 in your branch of scholarship, in this case, the Cascade Bears, and pick up Academia Lore.
Ah, feels so academic.
You are very academic. Leif, what about Maruk?
I also had a similar conflict of spirit. I really liked both Cascade Bears and is it Uzenjadi or is it just Zunjadi? Is the first U silent? It feels like it would be. Either way,
that's a good question.
I think Maruk is more interested in learning the history of magic, really. That seems the quickest way to get his goals completed. So I think the Zunjadi is who he's going to apply for. And before I tell you what classes he's taking, let's go ahead and roll a library check. Oh yeah, 23.
Yes. Maruk gets off to a running start this semester.
So
he's doing very well.
He passes many of his written tests. So he's not taking like the History of Magic 101. He's taking the History of Magic 201. He's already up in the 200 level classes. And most notably, what he's really interested in is the basics of magical spell creation 201. Kind of teaching how spells are kind of crafted and formed at their like most basic rudimentary levels. It's a very complex class, and not too many other first years get into the 200 level course. So he's definitely strutting his stuff right now.
What lore are you picking there?
Yeah, any lore. I don't see the any lore.
So on the list of common lore subcategories, you have academia, accounting, architecture, art, circus, engineering, farming, fishing, fortune telling, games, genealogy, gladiatorial, guild, heraldry, herbalism, hunting, labor, legal, library, lore about a specific deity, lore about a specific creature or narrow category of creatures, such as demon, owlbear, vampire, etc. Lore about a specific plane other than the material plane, like the abyss, astral, heaven, etc. Lore about a specific settlement, a specific terrain, a type of food or drink, alcohol, baking, butchering, etc. Mercantile, midwifery, milling, mining, sailing, scouting, scribing, stabling, tanning, theater, underworld, and warfare.
All right. So if you would allow it, undead lore?
Yes.
The forums right. love that question, just so you know.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's like it gets asked all the time. Like, is undead lore too broad of a lore to?
Well, if you can have demon lore,
yeah,
which is all, demon lore is on the list.
Yeah, demon covers a lot.
It's just funny because it's obviously gets asked all the time because people like that lore. So
mm-hmm. right, and then lore. The next two though examples are owlbear and vampire, which are much more specific than demon. Super
specific, yeah.
Huh.
I would accept underworld lore. I heard that on the list there.
Underworld so. is your thievery type stuff.
Yeah, oh, criminal. Not
all, never mind.
Yeah. Not Hades underworld.
Yeah,
but,
no, I was thinking, you know. Yeah, Hades.
Yeah, wrong type of underworld. But I mean the Boneyard is also a plane. Like, do that one.
Ooh. Or ooh. That's kind of never mind. I'm not even gonna ask that one.
Take right. your undead lore.
I will take my undead lore, and I promise to use it sparingly.
I think it's fine.
All right,
for you to have undead lore. There are not as many undead as there used to be. That's for sure. You guys see a lot more. I noticed a lot more aberrations when we were running Extinction Curse than undead. Things that you guys would have thought were undead were aberrations. Sort of feel like things have gotten spread out a little bit as time has gone on. But that gives you your first sort of foray into how this academia subsystem is going to work. Like I said, you'll have more opportunities for those of you who didn't get your additional lore just yet to catch up. I'll draw your attention to study is just like your base activity. And then you also have cram. If you get more than two levels behind, you can cram. So
neat.
Yeah. So you're never going to be like totally behind, and it's just going to give you more flavor, rather than being totally punitive if you miss these checks.
Okay.
So don't feel like you have to make all of them every time. They just sort of reflect how your character is doing in school as we progress through the semesters here. So that is how sort of your first 2 months in your classes are going, is what these checks are telling us. Elias is having a little bit of a hard time, you know, and so is Revy. Maruk is just like smooth sailing all the way through.
He's used to book learning.
So this is pretty much what we expected from these characters, more or less. You know, Akita and Rix are pretty much average. They're making it, but you know, by the skin of their teeth, but they're making it. They're working as hard as they can. Maruk is skating by, as ancient birds tend to do. and our marshals are struggling a little bit, but that's okay. They'll get better. We're sort of getting towards probably the end of the, you know, the first quarter maybe, and you start seeing these flyers around campus that say monthly sparring tournament this Star Day at the Leshy Gardens. Initiates and attendants only. All skill levels welcome. Single elimination brackets. Winner receives prize. Attendance strongly encouraged.
Hmm. Cool.
But that's still like a week away. When you get a request from one of the professors. Of the Rainscribe faction to come to her office. Because she has a request for you.
Of course.
That you, Revy? Are you a Rainscribe?
No, Akina is a Rainscribe, I think.
Akina.
No?
No, she's Emerald Bouds. None of you are Rainscribes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That's the one that we skipped.
Okay.
For Rainscribes. Yep.
Her office is in the Heron Archives, which I don't know if I revealed on your map. Let me bounce.
I don't think you have.
Many of the professors have their offices in this building. Right here.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, a shiny new map tag on the main map.
What's it called?
The Heron Archives. I can gotcha. I can ping it again. Oh, I was on the GM layer, so it probably didn't. There it is.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Fun fact about the Heron Archives. It's one of the first 10 buildings constructed for the Magambia in the days of Old Mage Jatembe. And each of these buildings is named for one of the 10 magic warriors, in this case, Black Heron. I presume you all, you know, go to her office when she summons you.
Maruka's going to blow it off, but then I'm sure he's dragged out of his room by Akina.
Yeah. That's probably what happened. Be like, if you want these chocolate covered crickets, you're coming with me right now.
Bravery seldom works, madam, but in this case, I'll allow it.
Elias has like a 5 o'clock shadow and like bloodshot eyes. He's like, they give you work in the class, and then they make you take it home, and then you have to do it there, and then you have to bring it back. It never ends.
No, that is one of the reasons we are here is this workload, although I understand it can be overwhelming.
Overwhelming? They just want us to focus on one thing at a time. There's so much different things.
Also, Maruk, I'll never give you another beat again if you don't.
Maruk hears Revy's comment and starts looking up ways to summon magical Adderall.
Oh no.
There might be some of your classmates who can help you with that. I'll
the cat folk.
Now, Josiah brews like alcohol. Ignacy is the one who has alchemical things for sale, including put up the mural at the end of the hallway that can help you with your home.
Oh yeah, Elias is very close to taking them up on that. So, but Elias does welcome the break from the schoolwork to hopefully be able to help out this leader here.
So when you arrive, heavy curtains cover the windows in Teacher Olawa's large office, with several oil lamps emitting a low light. A dizzying variety of glass encasements feature insects and reptiles, and a large cage hanging in a corner holds a small and surly vulture. Bookshelves are stuffed with papers, scrolls, and tomes in orderly piles. Shadow boxes on the walls hold dead insects, pinned open to display their inner anatomy. You might have heard I'm the insect expert here, says Teacher Olawa, looking up from a scroll and tucking an errant piece of her headscarf back into place. That means when the school has bug problems, they like to make it my problem. Since the group of you are still in your perquisite period, I'm making it your problem. Something, or more likely several unrelated and coincident things, have been disturbing insects around the Magambia, enough to threaten the ecological balance if left unchecked. Anchor Root and a few others have told me that something seems to be agitating them. For a moment, genuine concern crosses Teacher Olawa's face. Proof that she's perhaps not as dismissive or disaffected as she seems. The look quickly fades. Go to the places on this list. Take note of any strange activity and collect insect samples for me. Take immense care in collecting samples. Further disruption could cause the very problems I prefer to avoid. She flaps a dismissive hand and returns to her work. Oh, and do remember to wash thoroughly before returning my samples.
All right. Is there any evidence of what has been tampering these, or that's our job? That's what we're doing.
Exactly.
All right.
Oh. She takes the list back from your hand and scribbles on the back. Talk to Anchor Root about centipedes.
Ah. We will do that.
Yeah, as I recall, she had bloodworms. What? She had some creature. She kept some pet. Yeah. So that tracks. That makes sense. Yeah. Can you give us any tools other than this paper for the job, or perhaps a list of supplies we may need, or will our bare hands do?
Bare hands.
Like un.
They'll be able to figure
ungloved.
It out.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Pat, if you didn't, I would have. Somebody's got to make that joke every time bare hands is mentioned.
I'm taking all your arrow points away, all of you. So in a world of magic shapeshifters, so say. Chet, you've suddenly gotten very quiet.
That's because I turned my mic off because I thought I was going to cough. I said, we live in a world of magic shapeshifters, so it's good to make that distinction.
The list that she gave you has three locations on it. The Leshy Gardens, the canal near the speaker's stage, and the dining hall's kitchen. Here on your map, let me just bounce back to my GM layer here. And show you where these things are. Here, the Leshy Gardens are over here by the sparring field.
Dun, dun, dun.
You've been to the dining hall already, right here. And finally, the speaker's stage is all the way here on the south end of campus.
Oh, that's a cool place.
Yes. And she wants you to, she wants you to check out there as well.
Well, we should probably head back to our dormitory first to talk to Anchor Root.
Yes, we should see if we can find her.
That and gather any supplies. I imagine we're going to need supplies.
Yes.
Yes. Perhaps she will tell us what supplies we need.
I've been meaning to... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've been meaning to check out the Leshy Gardens here. In the near future anyway, so perhaps we can see what's going on with the sparring when we head that way. But anyway.
Yes. Megara would be very interested in that, Elias. Maybe you two will fight.
I don't
look forward to that.
Megara is quite deadly. It's true. It's easy enough to find Anchor Root back at your dormitory. Look how cute Anchor Root is.
But picture that with a knit hat with ear holes.
Now with a knit hat. So, I have noticed an uptick in pests lately in the dormitory walls. I told Teacher Law about it. She asked you to help.
Do you have any nets or anything that we can use to catch bugs?
I've just been using my chicken to eat them, but I was worried that it might make her sick. So I did brew this centipede anti-venom. You can, if you're going to be poking around for the centipedes, you might want to drink some of it.
Oh.
And I already fed it to my chickens. So there's probably not too many side effects.
Gives it a sniff.
How long does it last?
Just 24 hours. So if you're going to poke around for centipedes today, you should definitely drink it.
We will do that. Thank you very much, Anchor Root.
You're welcome. I don't think there's very many centipedes left around here because, my chicken ate most of them. But you can try.
All right.
If you were to place a numerical value on the benefit one might receive from drinking this.
Yes. The centipede antivenom, let me show this to you guys, mechanically is a moderate antidote that only works against centipede venom.
Okay. Oddly specific.
It says for 6 hours here, but it's 24?
Yes.
Okay.
Love that.
Again, because it's focused against the centipede specifically, probably.
Right.
Oh, that's good. Great. Hydra's back with the music.
Oh, good.
There was an outage, apparently.
Oh.
Anyway.
I still can't hear it.
Oh. I'm hearing it. Anyway.
Let me adjust.
Would you like to look around for some centipedes?
Let's look for some centipedes. Specifically around here?
Yes, this is where Ankaroot has seen them.
Gotcha.
Maybe we'll take a swig of the antidote if everyone else is there.
Everybody's doing it, Revy. Is this a college party? Are we at a college party right now?
Sort of.
I think we are. Akita will drink her dose.
I presume everybody drinks the Give me a nature or survival check if you are looking around, attempting to capture some centipedes.
You know it's got to be nature, because with my new herbalism dedication, I am an expert at that now.
Shiny.
Ooh, very shiny.
Dive.
Revy, Riggs, and Akina will all capture centipedes, but Akina gets hers first.
Yeah.
So after an hour, you have three captured centipedes. That even though they were pretty well hidden, they're obviously very afraid. Anchorage chicken.
We put them in a jar with a stick and a leaf. That's his tradition.
And holes in the top.
Yep. Yes. And holes
for,
in the top
for the breathing. Yes.
Very good. Probably had to go to the powder pile to get jars, but that's okay.
We did that, of course.
All
right. More?
Well, we checked out here. Should we try another location? I guess, was that technically the dining hall, or was that...
I think that was the dormitory.
Yeah, that was at the dormitory. You haven't been to the other three locations yet.
So, okay. Fleshy Gardens are just right across the street from us, so let's just do that.
You go north to south, we'll go gardens, hall, stage. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do it. Alright. If we're sure that we don't need to look for them some more. I know we spent an hour, but what if there were more and we're leaving them behind?
Yeah, it seems the chicken has it under control. Very few we were able to find. I couldn't find any here.
Well, okay. Let us continue then to Leshy Gardens.
So the Leshy Gardens are a riotous tangle of trees, shrubs, and vines amid otherwise carefully cultivated green space, such as the sparring fields and picnic areas. And it is, in fact, populated by leaf leshies, gourd leshies, and even a few flytrap leshies. Who are currently busy carving large wooden plates. For some reason.
Targets would be my guess, but I won't say that.
They're carving.
They don't look
sorry.
Like targets.
Not targets, wooden okay.
Plates. Large wooden plates. They look sort of like armor?
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. They're defending themselves against the centipedes is what they're doing. Let's help them out. Let's roll some checks.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
We were sent by Teacher Alawa to look into a bug infestation. Have you seen any weird bugs around here lately? Or agitated bugs?
We could. We do have a bit of a bug problem, says a gourd leshy. There have been an infestation of bark beetles gnawing on our plates, which is slowing us down. And we really need to get these done for the tournament.
Oh,
my gosh.
And we asked Teacher Alawa for help.
Well, of course. Well, here we are. We are the help.
Yeah, let us help you.
Well, feel free to look around and let us know if we can help at all. I'm afraid we don't know much other than that they're really in the way. Give me perception checks to look over these plates.
Highest we've got is a 20.
You all notice the lines in the bark made from the beetle's chewing, form strange shapes. Give me an arcana or a nature check.
That's a 27.
Oh, a 9 as well.
Well, Elias and Maruk, missing somebody. Oh, and Akina. Realize that these resemble runes or summoning or conjuration.
Which is weird.
It looks like maybe this is sabotage. Maybe somebody's summoning these to weaken the armor?
Perhaps. But that's where we'll leave off for this week. You have one more place to check for more bugs. To figure out what's going on here to help Teacher Ulawa sort of narrow this down and deal with this bug problem. But we'll get to that next week. Here on Strength of Thousands. Before we go, how did your character feel about today's events? Jet?
Pretty good. She passed her classes. She learned more about the city surrounding Magambia. And, you know, she's getting along with her cohorts. That's never a bad thing. Plus, these leshies are adorable.
They are adorable. Joel, what about Elias?
Yeah, Elias is, I guess the sheen's kind of wearing off the school a little bit. He was having fun before school actually started, but now that we're into school, he's feeling a little bit, I guess, in over his head. And all those doubts that kind of plagued him as he was approaching here, like, is this even the right place for him, are really, I don't know, starting to weigh heavy on him, especially because, granted, it's early in the semester, but he's not used to school, so he's a little bit nervous, and he's not having as good a time as he was at the beginning. But we'll see where it goes from here. He's got his eyes set on the sparring tournament, though. He saw that flyer, and he's like, oh, I just got to make it to the sparring tournament. That's his goal now. He's got to get as far as the tournament, so...
I'm a little bit worried that Elias is going to have, like, a panic attack on us at midterms.
Yeah.
Kat, what about Revy?
I want to kind of retcon what Revy said a little bit. They were getting distracted by so many things, so much as they wanted to study more in depth everything that World History 101 was trying to cover really quickly. So just kind of, they want to focus, and World History 101 isn't letting them. A little bit of retconning, but they want to study more about everything that they're learning, and they're not getting the chance to, and it's slowing them down, and they're a little frustrated. They're taking their time learning how libraries work and getting distracted by finding all the books on all the subjects that they're currently looking at.
Maybe a little bit impatient to know all the things.
Yeah. But looking forward to getting to History 201.
Nice. Tom, how about Rix and Megara?
Rix and Megara are feeling similar to last week, pretty good. Really like where things are going so far. Rix is, and Megara. Because Megara sort of, you know, can experience things through Rix doesn't bring Megara into the classroom every time. But Megara is still sort of studying along with Rix. And they're both really enjoying the information they're getting from their Cascade Bearer classes. Really, Rix is interested to see what the story is behind the gremlins. Because Rix, being an accomplished storyteller, knows that the gremlins, surely, rule of threes, you know, we've got to see the gremlins at least one more time in order for this story to be concluded. So Rix is wondering when next we'll see these gremlins.
Carcius, what a nerd. Leif, what about Maruk?
Maruk is feeling very, very self-confident, very, very... full of himself. He's acing all of his classes. He's in his element. This is what he came here for. Real good, solid book learning. And he's a little perturbed that he had to put a stop to that so he could go hunt for bugs.
Gather samples for a teacher.
Yes, yes, yeah. But that's he could have summoned his undead minion to go hunt for bugs while he was doing stuff if he had any real power. That's what he's really thinking.
Hmm. All right, making notes. Totally not writing, might be a Nazi again. I would never write such a thing about anybody ever. Certainly not Baruch, the necromancer. No. I just can't. Never mind. This is off topic. But that's where we'll leave it for today. As always, I'd like to thank all the wonderful folks at Paizo for publishing our favorite Hopper. Sorry. I'm so distracted. Kat, you're the worst. Very cute pupper. Thanking the folks at Paizo for publishing our favorite systems, and particularly the authors of this book, Kindled Magic, Alexandria Bustian and Eleanor Farron. It's been a delight so far, and I'm looking forward to getting into all the nitty-gritty in this sort of sandboxy chapter we're going into. Our character art, as always, is by the lovely Anicola. She's at Anicola on Twitter. You can find her and quest art of your own characters. Will be lovely, as ours is. Our token markers that I use today are Isle of Lore 2, Status Icons and Token Markers by Stephen Colling. Who do we have to thank for our music today, Tom?
Well, as always, our music was played through Hydra, the Discord bot that does many things, but we use it for music. Specifically speaking, we played Over the World by Dark Fantasy Studio today, as well as Rivertown and Ancient Artifact by Tabletop Audio. Oh, and I'm sorry, Dark Fantasy Studio's Dance of Death for the battle music.
Oh, very nice.
Very aptly named. Yes.
Jet, what do we have coming up on Starlords this week? I'm betting we're going to something with a giant fleet.
Yeah, I know I've said it for 2 weeks and I apologize.
Sorry, but I don't mean to be a troll. I couldn't help myself.
There was 1 week of just me mentally not being up to it. And then this week I was very ill the night we were supposed to go live, and I couldn't. I spent the night wrapped up in a blanket shivering, and it was unfun.
We want you to be at your best. We do.
So, fingers crossed for this week. And again, I apologize for the delays.
We're going to do it. We're going to be back.
I'll probably be required.
It's true. We always say on this show, real life comes first. Even though we are dedicated to getting out great content, we can't get out great content when we're dying on the couch of illnesses, therefore. As always, we need more icebreaker questions, particularly Jet needs more icebreaker questions. I have a huge list that y'all have built up over the last 3 series that we've been doing these icebreaker questions, but Jet really needs them. They don't have to be traditional icebreaker questions. They can be anything, especially things you're dying to know about these characters. There's a link to the form on the feedback channel, as well as the welcome channel on our Discord page. Speaking of which, if you're not a member of our Discord community, why the heck not? We're a very kind and benevolent bunch, much like me, myself. Come join us. We don't bite. We promise. The link is in the description of this video or this podcast, whichever you are enjoying at the moment. That's it for today. So say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Goodbye, everybody.
We'll see you next week for episode 5, First of Many. Until then, may your allies roll 20s and your enemies roll 1s. Stay nerdy out there, folks.